Good morning, everyone. Today is May 7th, 2024. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. It is 10:02 a.m. Item number two on today's agenda is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number three, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. You can all stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which stands one nation under God,
all right, on to item number four is public comment. Public comment is welcomed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment is again welcomed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. As a reminder, public comment is limited to 3 minutes per individual. With that said, is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. You can also use *6 to unmute yourself if you're calling in. And I believe it's *9 to raise your hand. Is that right? All right.
Good morning. For the record, Gary Schmidt. I'm a candidate for Story County Commission, Virginia City, Gold Hills, District 1. And in the course of those activities, I've had occasion to research and request information regarding political sign code sections that are specific to Story County. And I would like to pass these out, one for the record. Please attach it to my record. Go Jim back there. I have more copies here that I'll place in the back, but there's some unique things to Story County. There are certain areas of county-owned property that they allow political signs on. 5 areas, I believe, is the total. Pretty unique to Story County, but it's a well-kept secret. At filing for a county office here in the clerk's office here with Mr. Hendel, his position these days, there are certain documents that are passed out, mostly state laws in regards to the placement of the political signage, rules and regulations. And there's has been no provision during this campaign cycle to pass out the Story County code sections, nor has there been by my research in the last decade or greater. I've had this a discussion with Mr. Hendel, and he agrees with me that these should be included in your filing packet, should have been included for many years. And he's agreed to do that next year. There's also the issue of people that don't file at Story County, that file with the Secretary of State, that how they gain access to this, because this was difficult to find on the internet. You had to go into the code sections and research it a little bit. There's not an obvious link, even during campaign seasons or filing seasons. Takes you right to any Story County regulations, which would be relevant to assembly, state offices, regional offices also. So I think there should be some consideration in how to disseminate that information. Perhaps it should be provided to the Secretary of State's office for people that file with the Secretary of State, and they could disseminate it. And even in some cases, people that might file with Carson City or with Washoe County may have occasion to place signs in Story County, so that would be valuable information to do. I think this is something we have time to address. It's something that needs to be addressed for the next campaign season. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment today? All right, not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number five on today's agenda, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for May 7th, 2024. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding today's agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I do not. Thank you.
County Manager Osborne, are there any modifications to the agenda, sir?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, which is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda and the items on that?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're just letting you and the public know that we are looking at 18 Trash Hauling LLC just to make sure they conform to the franchise agreement. So far, no problem, but we will look into it between now and second reading. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding the consent agenda today? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Excuse me. On to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to kick things off at the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sheriff Cullen for the record. A couple things. I just wanted to bring up traffic this morning. We'll talk about traffic for just a few minutes. Our April statistics showed 415 traffic stops in Story County for the month of April with 61 citations. 14% of the traffic stops are ending in citation, which is it shows our education over enforcement campaign. We really are trying to get out there and educate the motoring public. And I think our deputies are doing a good job with that. Coming up on May 11th is our car safety seat event at the Silverland parking lot. This will be our second annual event. You can go out and get your child safety seat checked for proper installation and have your child safety seat properly installed by professionals from the Sheriff's Office here in Story County. The Story County Fire Protection District and REMSA representatives will be there. If you go attend that event, you can be entered into a free raffle for two general admission tickets at Night in the Country and or a Reno Aces prize pack. Also continue with traffic. May 13th through the 31st is our Joining Forces Click It or Ticket campaign, where deputies will be out in force educating the public on use of seat belts and safety seats. And just a reminder that Joining Forces funds are used to pay the overtime. So it's a grant funded operation where we get out and do our education of our drivers. And then the other thing in the news a little bit is the speed bumps are coming back, and it'll be working with the citizens and Public Works to make sure those are strategically placed in the best locations. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Sheriff. I do just want to point out my appreciation to you and your deputies. You've been extremely responsive regarding some speeding issues in the Highlands, and I thank you guys for that very much.
Got it.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Sheriff?
None. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I appreciate the update. Thank you.
Thank you for the update, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Fire Protection District, Chief Longcar.
Hey, yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Along with the event that the Sheriff Cullen brought up, I'm Jeremy Longcar for the record. We also have this Saturday, we're working with Living with Fire and UNR Extension to host just a wildfire presentation and keep our community safe. So we're just about in that season again. So it's good to remind our residents what they can do to protect their homes and valuables and get out safely. So that will be at Station 72 out in the Virginia City Highlands between 9 and 11. So if anyone's available to come out, please come out, and hopefully we can help educate the public a little more. In addition to that, we did put on one additional inspector. We got really lucky this go around, very qualified, and also a plans examiner. So that adds just one more plans examiner to our staff to help keep those plans moving and keep the economic development of Story County. And that's all I have to report.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
I do not. Thank you, Chief.
All right, Vice Chairman. All right, thanks again. Moving right along to Public Works, Director Jason Worsbicky. All right, thank you, Jason. Moving right along to Operations and Projects Coordinator, Mike Northern.
Morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northern, Operations Projects Coordinator. Just have one quick item to update the board on. The Lockwood Senior Center project went out to bid on May 2. We are published. Went up on our website and published to a number of plan rooms. I don't have any information right now on plan holders, but I'll update the board as we know. May 10 through May 31, or actually June 7, will be our bid period, open bid period for RFI responses. May 23 is our tentative date right now for the pre-bid conference. June 12 is our date right now for bid open. June 17 through 21, the bid results review and staff report and analysis. The board can expect to hear bid results presented on July 2nd. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Mike?
No questions. Thank you, Mike, for a job well done. Moving along nicely.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, good to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike. Moving on to our Business Development Director, Laura Mather. All right. How about our Administrative Officer, Heidi Coughlin? How about the Planning Department Director, Kathy Canfield?
Good morning, Kathy Canfield for the record. So I just wanted to share with you that Story County did receive a grant from the Carson Water Subconservancy District for $36,500 to help with culvert replacement and headwall installation along Six Mile Canyon. And that was identified in that Virginia City Six Mile Canyon drainage plan. We had gone down there. Mike Northern gave a good presentation to their board. And Mr. Jim Hindle and Mr. Lee Starrett are our representatives on that board. So we were awarded that, and that we should be getting that money July 1. And we're expecting later on in the late summer, early fall to use that. The second thing with the Carson Water Subconservancy District, they received notice last week, I believe it was, from the department, the State Department of Emergency Management, that they are being funded for the benefit cost analysis that needs to be done for the Mark Twain Drainage Area Master Plan. So these are the larger detention projects and things. This is the next step in order to implement those larger projects down in the Mark Twain area. The grant that they received, their portion of the match for that grant will be done with staff time from them. So we'll be helping with whatever information they may need, but mostly that they're the ones that are taking the lead on that, and we'll just be assisting. And then the last thing, we were informed, CWSD also has a list of projects that they submit to FEMA to get grant money from FEMA, and they've had successfully, they've done this, I think, about 13 or 14 iterations. And one of the items they had on that list was the Gold Hill Divide area and Silver City drainage plan, because that's kind of the last area up above the Carson River. So that was, they were informed that that was approved by FEMA to be on the list. And so they'll find out later how much funding they have and if how that'll fit. But that looks like that was promising, and they were very excited to see that FEMA was interested in funding that. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy?
No, thank you, Kathy.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks.
Thank you again, Kathy. Moving right along to Emergency Management, Director Adam Wilson.
Morning, Commissioners. Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management for the record. Just a couple quick updates. Last week, we had our first special events planning meeting This consisted of the VCTC, myself, Sheriff's Office, Fire District, and the County Manager. We're going to start making these regular meetings so we can better address some safety concerns. As we've heard, our special events are really growing. So this was a really great meeting and very productive. We're going to continue those to really help bolster the safety of our special events up here. Our safety plan as part of the safety committee has been undergoing major rework from the ground up, which Honey and Stacy have been critical on. That's going to be coming before you soon for approval. The legal review has just been sent out today. So more to follow on that. Next week is the Rural Preparedness Summit for Nevada. So I'll be attending that on behalf of the county out in Elko. That's a 2-day summit out there. And finally, the Stop the Bleed kits that were donated by Quad County Public Health to Story County are going to be distributed this week. The fire district has started training and it's going to Public Works first, as we identified them as the higher risk group within the county. And then we'll, after July 1, be receiving 100 more of those kits to start distributing to more county employees. And that is all I have.
Great update, Adam. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
None. Thank you, Adam.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. On to the Virginia City Tourism, Director Todd Tuttle.
Good morning. Tom Tuttle, Director of Tourism. Just a quick report on the 53rd Annual Grand Prix held last on April 27th through the 28th. We had 968 racers, from what I understand, with promoters going back as far as 10 years. That was one of the strongest numbers that they've seen in attendance. A special thanks to the Sheriff's Department for keeping everything in order. There were only a few scuffles here and there, but no large outbreak fights or anything to disrupt the peace of the community. So big thanks to the Sheriff's Department. The upcoming on a number of events, on May 10th, we have the Mark Twain Train. It's part of the Mark Twain Days held down in Carson City, a special train coming up from Carson. It should arrive here in Virginia City at 3:45. They will be staying in town until 7:30 for the departure. A number of facilities have added special events to go on in conjunction with that. Down at St. Mary's Art Center, they've got a number of events and seminars to be held. At the Fourth Ward School, another special opening that's held open for these people arriving. At the Territorial Enterprise, they expect to have a sneak peek to be able to look at the museum and some of the things that they're doing prior to the opening of that building. The Mark Twain Saloon will have a number of special drinks and events to go on in mustaches and tarantula juice drinks, et cetera, if you remember Samuel Clemens and the great things he did here. And of course, the Gallery of the West will also have a special presentation relating to Samuel Clemens / Mark Twain. We will have a shuttle running back and forth from all of these locations all throughout the time to be able to get people from C Street up to B Street down to St. Mary's. We'll also have two main motor coaches that will arrive at the same time the train arrives so that they can get from the train station up to C Street and then distribute to all of the locations with their special events going. So it should be a pretty exciting day on Friday evening. The following 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, of course, we'll continue with some of that celebration, and a number of those special events will continue on at each of those locations. On May 18th and 19th is the 42nd annual Chili on the Comstock and Craft Brew Tour. Quite a bit of excitement about that coming up. We've got a number of radio spots going out and some radio interviews, along with some television interviews and some live television response coming up for that. So we're excited for the publicity that will go with it. The actual events will be from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. C Street will be closed from Sutton to Taylor in order to accommodate the tents and the tasting and all of the activities that go on. And coming back again this year, we tried it a little bit last year, was the hot chili pepper eating contest, of which we had about 8 entries. This year, we got a little bit more excitement coming in on it, and we're anticipating that to grow. Those of you that really enjoy eating hot chili peppers, here's your chance to test your skills and get out there and try a little bit of it. There is the Memorial Day weekend, of course, May 25th through the 27th. On Saturday, the 25th, we will have our Celebrations of Heroes parade. It will pass down C Street at noon. We hope to make a perfect timing to be here when the siren goes off, the national anthem is sung, and we're hoping for a flyby on this particular event coming through. So a lot of excitement for the Memorial Day weekend also. On June 1st, the Reno Tahoe Odyssey once again runs from Lake Tahoe, Carson City, into Virginia City. They arrive here around 7 in the morning. Reminder to everybody that Highway 341 coming up from Carson City will have the runners along with their support teams, and that usually means a slow and go. So kind of be aware of that 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock hour from as they're coming up in that race. And then again, as they continue later in the morning down to Reno, so 341 as they head down Geiger Grade. The new thing coming up on June 1st is the Fast Rally. That's Ford A Speed Technology Groups. That is the Model A Ford vehicles that run on their own power. It's not a souped up or in any kind. It's an exact stock that went with the vehicle. They'll be racing uphill on D Street, starting at Mill and finishing at Taylor. We will close off from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock to be able to have those races. They'll be able to be seen from the balconies of most of the merchants along C Street. And there will be a little area down by the freight depot to be able to come down and see the cars as they prepare for the race. So it should be a lot of fun. And again, bringing that antique aspect back into the city. So that is my report. A lot coming up and a lot doing.
Thank you, Todd. Real quick, you mind just recapping the Reno Tahoe Odyssey? That's on June 1st.
June 1st.
And then the Model A races are also on June 1st?
On June 1st.
Okay. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you, Todd.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Todd, I have two quick questions. On the Odyssey, hey, around the...
You check your text messages from me?
Yeah, I got your message and we're going
to... Hey, Lance, we can hear you.
Thank you, Todd. The first question I have is on the Odyssey, the route coming up from Carson City, is that on the 342, the historic highway, or are they going to come up the truck route?
Yeah, probably come the truck route is
okay.
What I'm
that's what we understand. Okay, thank you. And then on the Mark Twain events this Friday, to understand that we may want to prioritize those coming on the train. If there are those who can't make the train, are some or all of those events in town open to others who would like to attend?
Yes, all the events are open to anyone here in town. We're promoting it to be up here on Friday. Even if you couldn't make the train, there's 241 seats, and I'm understanding we're pretty close to being sold out on that train. So if you want to come up and experience all the things that are going on, St. Mary's, et cetera, up to the Gallery of the West, yes, by all means,
Very good.
Up and enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you for that update, Todd.
Thank you.
Comptroller McCain, anything for us today? All right. How about the recorder's office?
Good morning. Drew McPherson, recorder. I have an update on the Lands Act project. So the two deeds, one from the federal government to Story County and the second from Story County back to property owners, were recorded on April 22nd. Some property owners received a document recording alert that week, as well as a follow-up email providing additional reading materials. Since then, the recorder's office has been preparing for the certified mailing of the materials to all affected property owners. Properties held in an individual's name will be mailed via certified restricted mail, meaning an ID and signature are required to pick up the packet. Properties held in a business name will be sent certified only, so only a signature is required for pickup. The mailings are based on the number of parcels. So if someone owns multiple parcels, they can expect multiple mailings. These information packets will be sent tomorrow, so property owners should receive them in the coming days. And that's all I've got.
Thank you very much, Drew. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Drew?
No questions. Thanks, Drew.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I appreciate the hard work on getting this big project done. Thank you.
All right. How about our IT Department Director, James Dean?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Several updates for you. We're finally doing the website cutover back to Civic Plus tomorrow at 8 a.m. Shouldn't have any technical troubles with that. It's a pretty easy cutover. It's just a DNS change. So should happen within an hour and populate over the planet. I wanted to thank staff and department heads for their participation on this. We've had a tremendous response, a lot more involvement from staff. And we're offering a training for staff on June 10th. And again, tremendous response on that. We have a full class. That's never happened before. So thank you, everybody, for that. The access control and camera project for the Story County complex out in Tri has been completed. The whole building now has full camera coverage, and we have multiple access control doors on the outside and inside the facility, allowing a single key fob use to access multiple doors. The access control system at the courthouse should be completed at noon today. So that'll be the north, south, and front doors, again, allowing key fob access and greater security control. Wanted to thank Honey Coughlin for securing those funds for those two projects and moving them out of the CIP and getting them done this budget year. So thank you, Honey. And finally, I wanted to thank Public Works for putting in some conduit to my building as part of the fiber project that we're working on countywide. They were going to do some paving in the next month, and it saved us a lot of money to get that conduit put in now rather than putting it in after the pavement and cutting it back up and all that stuff. So thank you, Jason Wersbicki and Mike Northen, for sneaking in the conduit and making my life easier in the future. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, James.
Appreciate it.
We're going to stop our staff reports because we have a 10:30 public hearing, and it is 10:29 and some change. So we can all just hang tight for just a moment. All right, we're going to move on to item number nine. It's a 10:30 a.m. public hearing. The hearing is now open. Kathy, would you like to kick this off?
Would you like me to read the
title? I would love for you to read it.
I think it's my turn.
All right.
The title for this is an ordinance amending provisions of Story County Code, Title 17, Chapter 17.16, R1 Residential Zone, Section 17.16.030 and 17.16.040, Chapter 17.20 R2 Multifamily Residential Zone, Section 17.20.025 and 17.20.070, Chapter 17.24A Agricultural Zone, Section 17.24.025 and 17.24.070, Chapter 17.30 CR Commercial Residential Zone, Section 17.30.030, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone, Sections 17.40.025 and 17.40.050, and 17.44 SPR Special Planning Review Zone, Section 17.44.030. The proposed amendments will allow 401 square feet as the minimum area of single family dwelling within a special use permit in the above referenced zoning districts. So that was the title of the proposed change for the zoning change. This is the second reading for this first change to allow to change the minimum residential size, minimum single family residential size in these districts that I just spoke about. This was heard the first reading April 16th. 2024. And so this would be the second reading. And so we're just asking if there's any additional public comment. The planning staff has not received any comments between the first reading and now.
Thank you, Kathy. Is there any public comment related to this public hearing? I think we've given ample time.
There's a motion on this one. There it is, to close the hearing. We didn't want the second reading.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Did you change your mind?
For the record, Gary Schmidt, real quickly, I've brought this issue up before. I'm in full support of this reduction, but I think to go along with it, the county needs to consider reduction in lot sizes, and also should probably address the setbacks, at least maybe not change the existing setbacks, but provide for special use permit adjustment to the setbacks, also to better accommodate these smaller residential structures. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Hereby move to close the public hearing for the second reading of Bill Number 140, Ordinance Number 24-328, an ordinance amending provisions of Story County Code Title 17, Chapter 17.16, R1 Residential Zoning, Section 17.16.030 and 17.16.040, Chapter 17.20 R2 Multifamily Residential Zone, Section 17.20.025 and 17.20.070, Chapter 17.24A Agricultural Zone, Section 17.24.025 and 17.24.070, Chapter 17.30 Commercial Residential Zone, Section 17.30.030, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone, Section 17.40.025 and 17.40.050, and 17.44 SPR Special Plan Review Zone, Section 17.44.030. The proposed amendments will allow 401 square feet as a minimum area of a single family dwelling with a special use permit in the above referenced zoning districts.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. And Kathy, since you're here, you want to just take care of number 10 too? All right. Item number 10 is for discussion and possible action. And Kathy, you did such a great job the first time. I'll let you kick it off again.
Thank you. So this is to approve the recommended code changes. This is the second reading of these. The public hearing just occurred. The title of the ordinance, Bill Number 140, Ordinance Number 24-328, an ordinance amending provisions of Story County Code Title 17, Chapter 17.16 R1 Residential Zone, Section 17.16.030 and 17.16.040, Chapter 17.20 R2 Multifamily Residential Zone, Section 17.20.025 and 17.20.070, Chapter 17.24A Agriculture Zone, Section 17.24.025 and 17.24.070, Chapter 17.30 CR Commercial Residential Zone, Section 17.30.030, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone, Section 17.40.025 and 17.40.050 and 17.44 SPR Special Planning Review Zone, Section 17.44.030. The proposed amendments will allow 401 square feet as the minimum area of a single family dwelling with a special use permit in the above referenced zoning district. So as said with the public hearing, staff is in support of this zone change. We haven't had any conversations or comments from anyone since the first reading time period.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions or comments.
Okay, is there any public comment regarding item number 10?
For the record, Gary Schmidt, just parlaying on my previous comments, but let me first say that I would like all my comments today included in the minutes in detail as provided for under the open meeting law. But addressing the setbacks again, you know, there's a process to reduce setbacks, and it's called a variance. But a variance, the burden of proof is on the applicant. If you provide for a reduced setback with a special use permit, the burden of proof is on the county. That's a very big difference. So in regards to setbacks, you've adjusted the size of the house down to less than 50%. You need to address the setbacks, the same setbacks that are appropriate for a 1,000 square foot or larger home are not really appropriate for a 401 square foot home. And the argument that you can address it through a variance doesn't hold water, because that's particularly burdensome on the applicant. I think those setbacks should be appropriately reduced, controlled under a special use permit, just like you're controlling the square footage of 401 feet under a special use permit. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I would be happy to. And I just before I do that, I had two short comments, if you'll permit, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
The first one is just I did want to point out that that within the estate zoning, we are not making a change to several of the subcategories there, specifically those for the ones in the tens, we'll call it colloquially. Those are not changing. And secondly, I just want to thank staff for their work on this. And I think it's definitely time for us to get this through, and I appreciate their guidance and the robust process that them and the Planning Commission have done to get this to us. So thank you. And with that, in accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the second reading of Bill number 140, Ordinance number 24-328, an ordinance amending provisions of Story County Code Title 17, Chapter 17.16 R1, Residential Zone, Sections 17.16.030 and 17.16.040, Chapter 17.20 R2, Multifamily Residential Zone, Section 17.20.025 and 17.20.070, Chapter 17.24A Agricultural Zone, Section 17.24.025 and 17.24.070, Chapter 17.30 CR Commercial Residential Zone, Section 17.30.030, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zoning, Section 17.40.025 and 17.40.050, and 17.44 SPR Special Planning Review Zone, Section 17.44.030. The proposed amendments will allow 401 square feet as a minimum area of a single family dwelling with a special use permit in the above referenced zoning districts.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Kathy. All right, now we're going to go back to our staff reports, which is, I believe, item number 7, if I'm correct. Yeah. All right. And we left off with our Human Resources Department, Director Brandy Lopez.
Good morning, Commissioners. Brandy Lopez for the record. I just wanted to give everybody an update on our new I just wanted to let everybody know that we're on target for going live with the first phase of our online application system. We're hoping to, everything will be at the first 2 weeks of June. which is just in time for all of our newly approved positions in the new fiscal year, where this new app program will also make our job postings be seen nationwide, which we're hoping that it will make our applicant pool much greater. So, any questions?
Thank you, Brandy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Brandy?
I do not. Thanks, Brandy.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks for that update, Brandy. Moving right along to community development, Director Pete Renaud.
Good morning, Commissioners. Pete Renaud for the record. I just found out a couple days ago that some of the drilling companies are starting to tell customers it's harder to hit water out in the Highlands. I haven't had a chance to talk to any of them yet, but the consensus is the earthquake we had a couple years ago changed the aquifer systems, I guess you want to say. They're all different in the Highlands. I haven't looked at any drill reports lately, but most of them run around 400, 500 feet. On the edges of the county, they're about 1,000 or more, and they're toxic. We still have people that are trying to drill for a third time right now. Pretty expensive, over $100,000 worth of drilling. On a lighter note, we C of O'd two of the larger buildings out in the industrial park on USA Parkway, which got gobbled up by Redwood Materials, and they're doing their TIs right now in there. I'd like to just put on the record that Alston Construction, one of our partners out there, they did a fantastic job. I wanted some recognition from or for them. And in turn, they turned around and told me that they have never worked in a jurisdiction like ours. They're pleased. They'd like to come back and work. They did point out two of my inspectors, Joe Starnes and Dave Nair, as being very professional. And they really appreciated working with them as we did them. That's all I have for today.
Thank you for that update, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Pete?
Just a thank you, Pete. You know, what a phenomenal job you and the crew are doing out there. And I love having those reports come back to us. Yay, Story County. It's wonderful.
Agreed, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks for that update, Pete. I'll get with you on the water deal. Thank you. All right, moving right along to the Senior Center, Director Stacy York.
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. We have the mobile medical clinic out in Lockwood today. And next Tuesday, May 14th, it'll be at Mark Twain Community Center from 9:30 to 3:30 both days. They offer your basic medical services. Walk-ins are allowed. And last week, we moved the Lockwood Community Senior Center to its temporary location. That's 501 Rue des Blancs, next to the clubhouse. It, of course, came with a few hiccups, but the HOA out there was in big support. They came to our rescue several times. I also wanted to thank Public Works for moving us. Nobody likes to move, and nobody likes to move commercial equipment, but those guys came in and wiped it out, got it all done in one day. So big thank you. And that is it.
Thank you, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
Well, thank you, Stacy, very much. Nice job.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
Stacy, can you hit the Mark Twain date again?
Tuesday, May 14th.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that update, Stacy. All right. I do not see the judge with us. I'm going to move right along to the DA's office, the Deputy DA Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No updates today.
That is always good news. Thank you. Moving on to the County Manager's office, County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Dr. Osborne for the record. Just want to let you all know today is National Public Service Recognition Week. This is a national recognition for all federal, state, county, local, and tribal officials and employees that work in various capacities throughout our country. And there is a proclamation that's been prepared federally, but just looking at our own team, really just kind of want to point to just a little bit of what we do and what our team does. Public Works, providing critical services. This is a group of folks that are out at 2 o'clock in the morning plowing snow and addressing sewer and water blowouts in the middle of the night. So when we wake up in the morning, we don't even know there was an issue. We're very much appreciated for that. The sheriff and justice folks as a group are involved in keeping our community safe and also administering fair justice for those people in need, and conduct various projects across the county to help bolster and improve those systems. Our fire and EMS services, as we know, save lives and are saving property day and night and risking their own lives doing the same. Our dispatch team works 24/7 as well. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, anybody knows that they can push 3 buttons on a phone and they're going to get the emergency services that they need at any time. Our emergency management team prepares and mitigates these issues. So hopefully these emergencies don't happen because of the planning and preparation they put in place ahead of time. Community and senior services, really overall, they make sure nobody in the county goes to bed hungry. And also they're sometimes the only connection that seniors have to the outside world. Tourism, their principal job is to provide business generation on the C Street corridor in Virginia City for small mom and pop businesses. Our fiscal team includes lots of folks in grants, fiscal officers, comptroller. They're projecting our revenues, they're seeking grants, they're looking for alternatives, and they're making sure that the money that's not ours is spent appropriately and invested appropriately back into our communities. Our assessor's office is administering a fair system of revenues and making sure also that we can invest into our future. Our recorder's office is managing and securing documents, and as you've seen most recently, providing endless research and background going back 100 years in documents and reviewing cases to help our team fulfill its needs. Our clerk's office, as you're aware, is helping us maintain fair and proper elections and also our revenues and fiscal treasurer duties. Our building and planning team are part of a life safety group and making sure the buildings are built safely and properly. They're also involved in economic development, and whether you're a large company or somebody building a garage in your backyard, helping people have their vision become a reality. Our business development team also fosters a sustainable economy and assuring that there's opportunities provided for employees and others in our region and economically and otherwise. Our IT team really is the backbone of everything that we do as far as networking, and probably the most important is security, making sure that our cybersecurity is tight and we don't have issues there. They're also the 911 backbone for all the dispatch center and all the equipment that they run, as well as police, fire, and emergency medical. Our legal team, they like to tell us what we can't do, but in reality, what they follow up is then figuring out with us how we can make something happen and do it properly and legally compliant. And then most important of all is what I'm proud of with our team is everybody works together and making these things happen. We don't operate in silos, whether it's the fire district or the sheriff's office or each of our individual departments and elected offices. Very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful update, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
No, appreciate the update greatly. Thank you.
Mr. Herman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I will echo Austin's sentiments for everybody out there doing the job that they do for the county and the constituents here. It's truly appreciated. Moving right along to the Clerk Treasurer's Office, Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Morning, Commissioners. Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer for Story County. I just want to bring you up to speed on a couple things. First, I just want to address or confirm what Mr. Schmidt said about the sign ordinance information in terms of sign placement around the county. That was not in the current packet, but I do want to make it known that previous clerks did indeed have the previous sign ordinances in the packet. And this was just an omission on this one based on some updating and getting that done. So I don't want my previous clerk's predecessors to be lumped into that. But we are working to make sure that with the Secretary of State, because there's some work going on. As I think you know, there was an online system that was introduced for candidate filing. We're trying to figure out how we work with them to get that information in there. And I think it was a good point trying to get it to some of the more statewide people as well to understand our ordinances, and we will work on that. We are on schedule with our prep activity and planning for the June primary. Again, the primary is on June 11th. Early voting will open on Saturday, the 25th. And sample ballots are in process, should be dropped very soon. And our mail ballots are in process. I think, Mr. Chair, we spoke, mail ballots will be out the weekend of the 20th, 18th, 19th, 20th, right in there. We had a very busy week last week in that we successfully completed our second mock election with the brand new voter registration election management system that we are implementing with the Secretary of State. We did very well on our end. We invited in some of our poll workers to participate in that. And the good news is that it was very intuitive and very seamless for them to understand how to use this new system to manage voter registration and voter check-in. So that is very encouraging. There are some things that still need to be revised and updated in the system overall before it's ready, but we're working toward that. Another mock election will be done at the end of June. And then I would like to have commissioners involved in that so you get to see what this new system looks like. And then we are going to have another mock election in late July or August. And in that one, it will be open to the public. So the public can also come in and see how this new system works. So stay tuned for more information on that one. Nothing like doing system testing when we're also trying to do an election prep. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is that delinquent property tax list will be published in the paper this week. As I noted in our last meeting, we had seen an uptick in the number of delinquent properties year over year. Very good news is that with the delinquency letters we sent out, people took care of some of those delinquencies, and we actually are seeing a 6% reduction in the number of delinquent properties year over year. The bad news is we're still almost twice where we were 2 to 4 years ago in terms of the number of delinquencies, just by number, not by value, from through the years. But we'll keep you informed on that one in terms of its impact. That's all for today.
All right. Thank you for that comprehensive update, Jim. Commissioner Gumman, do you have any questions or comments for our clerk treasurer?
I do not. Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Hendel, while we work on kind of a comprehensive fix on the county sign ordinance inclusion for candidates, would it be fairly reasonable to put a link directly to that section of the code on the secretary or the
we could do it on the county section
of the website?
Very good idea.
Just to make it a little bit easier to find.
We'll do.
Thank you.
Okay. If I can add one more thing, just a shout out to Mark Allen, our deputy for elections analyst. He's been in the office for 30 days and he ran a very successful election, which is a great credit to him picking it up. He did pull his hair out here and there, so maybe pat him on the back and tell him he's making good progress.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jim. All right. Is there anybody from staff or our nonprofits that I've missed that would like to give an update today? All right. Thank you, everyone, for your updates. Much appreciated. Back to our next item on the agenda, which is board comment. Item number 8. I'm going to start off with Commissioner Gelman on my far right.
No comment today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Lance. Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you. Just busy.
Indeed. All right. I don't have anything today except to mention a Virginia City Highlands resident by the name of Bob Moore. Some of you know him. He passed away. He was in memory care down in Reno, passed away on April 18th. I know Bob through the snow plowing that he took care of early on when I moved to the neighborhood. Wonderful man, very caring man. Sad to see him go. His wife still lives in the Highlands and is keeping his spirit alive. So If we can have a moment of silence for Bob Moore, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to item number 11. This is discussion only. Take a break before we get started, Jennifer. Tour. Item number 11, discussion only. Story County Fiscal Year 25 Tentative to Final Budget Update.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. This is just a discussion item, actually, and I'm going to update you on all of the changes that we have made so far between the tentative budget that you approved to the final budget, which you will approve at the next meeting. So hopefully this will be the last of the changes, and then I can just present you with the formal final budget and ask for your approval. Before I get started, I'd like to mention that there have been a few changes from the packet that I did submit, and I will try to remember to point those out as I go through all of our changes. So I'll start with the general fund as usual. As for our revenue, there were two changes. One is I inputted the Tesla GSA payments. Now that that is signed, that's approximately $900,000 for that year. Then also we have completed three quarters of our investment interest apportionment, and to the general fund that increased the interest revenue by $1,100,000. This gives us a net change in the general revenue of approximately $2 million of increase. So moving forward with our expenses, our liability insurance formal quote did come through. There is a drop for all funds that have liability insurance from 15%, which we projected, to an actual increase of 10%. We have also added some, That's for a total decrease of approximately $174,000. To the individual departments in the commissioner's budget, we have added two positions. One will be a management analyst, and one is a another position that will primarily focus on PR for the county, our social media, and any kind of information that needs to get out there. That was a switch with a professional service fee and service and supplies. Between salaries and benefits, we had a total increase of approximately $88,000 for those two positions. And also in service and supplies, we did have some additional increases of approximately $25,000 for those new positions, which includes some telephone charges, travel fees, dues, training for those positions, and some possible gas for traveling to the around to different meetings. We had a decrease in postage of $18,000 because the Lands Act, as you heard earlier, is happening this year. We had an increase in auto maintenance of $600, and we had a decrease in professional services, again, for that PR position and for some legal contracts that were listed there that have been moved to the DA's office. That's a total drop in the commissioner's professional services, approximately $580,000. For the clerk treasurer's office, we had an increase in professional services due to some much needing training from Naviant for an on-base software program. This is split with the admin department. It's an increase of $45,000 for the year to upgrade that system and get some much needed training. For the recorder's office, we had a couple of decreases. We moved a proposed new Tyler module for accessing records online and a Tyler payment program. We moved that from the recorder's budget into capital software purchases. That was a decrease of approximately $12,000 in the recorder's budget. And she also chose to reduce
for restoration preservation line item by $5,000. The administrative office has an increase in office supplies of approximately $1,000 due to the increase of actual paper for copies and printing. Professional services is the same as the clerk treasurer's office, an increase of $45,000 for the configuration and training of that on-base program. In buildings and grounds, we had a capital outlay increase. We moved a snow plow attachment for a skid steer to buildings and grounds. We moved that out of equipment acquisition, as well as we have corrected an amount which decreased the previously approved weed eater blower backpacks from $6,000 to $2,000. In the sheriff's budget, we have increases in wages and benefits due to a reclass of a position, and the new contract is possibly going to be approved later today. Those increases in wages and benefits are approximately $20,000. In service and supplies, we moved printer charges from rents and leases to maintenance agreements, which was a net zero effect. We increased the uniform line item budget due to a article in the CBA, which is providing boots once a year for the officers. If this is approved, it will be an $8,400 increase. And in capital outlay of the sheriff's budget, we decreased $5,000 due to we no longer have the need for a crime scene trailer, as he has figured that out in the current year. The DA's budget has that increase to accommodate the legal contracts from the commissioner's budget. This is a $200,000 increase in her professional services. In the park fund, we found an error in our formulas, which is an increase in the benefits of $15,000. It's still keeping that park fund, the park department, well within the range of the current year. It's just this year we had that issue. In business development, we reduced PR because we're moving that in-house with that new position in the commissioner's budget. However, she had some possible increases, which will include a possible new website for putting it out to our business world, what Story County and Tri has to offer. That's an increase of $20,000. In the comptroller's office, computer equipment is increasing approximately $1,000 for, we need a couple new screens for our desktops, but we don't need entire new desktops. Senior center, we have wages and benefits increasing approximately $65,000. This is because we have reclassed the homemakers and transportation positions to be in more in line with the internal and external comps. We've also reclassing the director, as new responsibilities are changing this ever-growing department. And her service and supplies, we have cut that budget because we are now splitting the school meals with the schools at 50-50, which dropped that budget approximately $80,000. Emergency management is moving from a code red to a rave emergency notification system, which is approximately an increase of $2,000. And planning, wages, and benefits is increasing approximately $30,000 as we have changed a new planner position to a new senior planner position. We have also increased professional services, and we've added the flood mitigation study for Lockwood at $25,000. So all of these project a net change for the general fund of an increase of $1.9 million. However, and our transfers, we've increased the transfer from into capital projects from $10 million to $15 million. And I have included the transfer into the road department at $4.5 million.
So all of these general fund changes bring our revenue to approximately $43 million, which what you were previously reported, what you have was a 3% increase. This is now a 5.5% increase. Expenses are currently, from what I've just explained, at $33.6 million, which stays pretty steady at an approximate reduction from the tentative of 4%. Our contingency dropped to $980,000 due to the drop in the expenses. And all of this brings our new projected ending fund balance to $10.5 million, which is approximately a 12% increase from what you have in front of you. That's all I have for the general fund, unless you have any questions for me before I move on to special funds.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding Jennifer's most recent update?
I do not. Thank you, Jennifer.
Vice Chairman?
Jennifer, I know earlier in this process, We had a bit of ambiguity on personal property tax revenue projections. Are we feeling fairly comfortable with where those are at this point?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, to be clear, I'm still staying on the very conservative side, but yes, I feel like we're in a good place there.
Very good. Thank you. That's
all. All right. Go ahead, Jennifer.
You're good. I'm not going to discuss all the funds, just the ones that we have made some changes. The road fund, we have increased the gas tax to be more in line with the current actuals. That's increasing that by $200,000. Again, the interest earnings is new here. That's $120,000. And that transfer from the general fund at $4.5 million. This is giving us $4.8 million along with the fund balance to complete the projects that are listed in the Dow CIP to finish the second half of the Lousetown project in the Highlands and to create a new, which I think we explained last time, the new road maintenance line item account that gives the public works crew and the road crew, they're able to move that money around as they see fit throughout the year. They don't have to be stuck in certain line items and ask for approval. The Dow CIP is $3.1 million. This reduced the other capital road projects by approximately $900,000. The second half of Lousetown is $2.3 million. This is giving us a net change to expenses of approximately $5.2 million. This is bringing the revenue for the road fund to a total of $6.7 million. This includes the transfer. The expenses are being brought to $8.8 million, and this is going to show a projected drop in the ending fund balance to approximately $790,000. This drop is $2.1 million, but as I've said before, especially with all our funds, the county is not in the business of making money. So using our ending fund balance to complete these projects is part of how we give back to our residents and our taxpayers. Equipment acquisition. One of the new items is the GSA Tesla reimbursement at $88,000. And again, that updated interest equipment acquisition can expect approximately $35,000. We had some changes in the capital expenses out of equipment acquisition of approximately $220,000. Again, we moved that snowblower skid steer piece to buildings and grounds. We've moved some of the equipment, as I explained last time, to the following years. We are down to what we are purchasing this year is an IT vehicle, a community development vehicle, four sheriff trucks in rotation, or he is proposing to purchase trucks. We have a short frame plow still in here, a new John Deere Skippy tractor, three Public Works trucks, the Tesla, which is reimbursed here. And one item that we went back and forth to take out or leave was the 125-foot new boom lift. That was estimated at $275,000. After going back and forth where our ending fund balance for this fund was going to land this year, that was one of the items that was going to be taken off. However, after talking with James Dean, who needs that for the towers, and Jason Worsbisky of Public Works, Jason really feels that he could probably find a very decent used piece of equipment at much lower than the $275,000. So we've dropped that line item to $100,000. And this will be one of those, if we find a great deal, we'll buy it. If not, we're going to see how much we need it and possibly rent the equipment if an emergency arises. All of this is bringing the revenue for the equipment acquisition fund to $941,000 and the expenses to $1.5 million. And there is a tri-payback, a transfer going into the tri-payback of $750,000. This will bring a projected ending fund balance of $890,000. That's a 4% increase, actually, from what you have in your agenda. The Capital Projects Fund, we have this year moved several of the state and federal grants into the grant fund. So it just, after talking with Sarah, our new grant manager, it just makes more sense that we spend that money where we receive it and keep the grants and our matches cleaner. So with that, we were able to add a few more items to the Capital Projects Fund, and we moved several items out to the following year. So there is a net change in revenue and expenses of $566,000. Some of the items for that, that we are keeping in there, of course, are federal appropriations that were approved, the Lockwood Senior Center, Station 71, and the fairgrounds. And we have two new awarded federal appropriations, which is the a water project and the sheriff substation. So this is bringing the capital projects total expenses to $14.8 million, their total revenue, including the transfer, to $16.5 million, with a projected ending fund balance of $3.3 million. Our infrastructure fund, one of the items that we had discussed and I did add, is the transfer to the sewer fund to continue to help pay for those bonds at $210,000. After going back and forth with Jason regarding the water budget as well, he did come up with an idea that I had not thought of, and we would like to ask permission to do the same thing for the water department and have the infrastructure fund transfer $98,568 into the water fund to also help pay for their bonds. That would relieve a lot of pressure this one year for the water fund so that we can try to regroup and get us back on track. That's all that was added to infrastructure. And with these changes, that's the revenue is $1 million and the expected expenses are $650,000. I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied today. This will bring the projected ending fund balance to $1.2 million. And again, I'll have a new ordinance before you, hopefully in July, before any of that money is transferred. The park fund, the only change there is the updated interest. That's something new. And as well as we discussed before, the new swing set for the VC Highlands Park. The interest is an increase in revenue of $2,500, and the swing set is an increase to those expenses of $7,000. This brings the projected fund balance to $56,000. Grants, again, we had a lot of movement with some projects. Our revenue We have the lead siphon project, which was originally out of capital. This is now a loan forgiveness grant. That's $1.1 million. We rolled the Lockwood Senior Center food pantry, which has to keep rolling because that's kind of an end result of the Lockwood Senior Center build. That was an additional $200,000. We have a new Meals on Wheels truck that Stacy's been waiting for quite some time. That's $70,000. Her last information is that truck is 6 to 8 months out. We also moved this 6 mile flood mitigation project to the road department. And so that's a decrease here of $34,000. Our federal appropriations, again, are the Lockwood Senior Center, Station 71, the fairgrounds, and then our new ones are the Gold Hill Collection System Phase 1 and the Tri Substation. The Sheriff's Office is also taking advantage of a United We Stand grant, which will be managed by Adam in Emergency Management, of $30,000. Stacy has applied for a new grant for Senior Center Health Promotion. This will be an additional $15,000 grant. And we have a CHP grant that's been applied for the Piper front doors and south side window replacement. Okay. This whole plan brings us to approximately $5.7 million in grants for FY25. VCTC, we have, we've done a lot of movement with this budget. We've reduced some of the revenues and the expenses for the special events to keep it more in line with the current contract. And they're also in current negotiations to have a new contract with Liquid Blue for the, some of these special events. So we're confident that these changes will work with either contract that they move forward with. The reduction in revenue is $350,000. VCTC also enjoys that interest income, and that's increasing by $62,000 for a net change in their revenue of $295,000. We had some very small changes with wages and benefits that accumulated to a net increase of approximately $350. They were just some small formula changes. Their benefits, again, for special events, we reduced those expenses by $416,000. And we have a new account that they requested for sponsorship so that the VCTC can help nonprofits put on events in Virginia City. That is a $10,000 line item increase. Their total net change in expenses is $405,000. Ending fund balance is staying fairly stable at $2.5 million. Piper's, they have a revenue increase that is actually a transfer from general fund to support and ensure their daily operations of $20,000, bringing the total transfer to $160,000. Again, if we get to the fourth quarter and Piper's is doing well, we won't make the fourth quarter transfer. We tried to cut this budget, and unfortunately, after making $8,000 worth of reductions, we did find that some line items were not quite keeping up with the actuals and the projected actual expenses for the current year. So with those changes, we had to increase on the other line items, telephone, which is directly related to the elevator, equipment maintenance, which is directly related to the elevator, and utilities. So all three of these things, we don't have any control over how much they're costing. So there's a net increase of $9,500 for that. And that is creating a net expense change of $10,000. This is reducing the ending fund balance for Piper's from $28,000 to $13,000. That's all I have for the Story County budget, except to again remind you that at the next meeting, I will have the formal budget for you to approve and hopefully approve and sign off, and then we will be done and able to move on.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
Just to thank you, Jennifer. Lots of work.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Thank you again, Jennifer. I'm going to ask that we take a couple minute break here before jumping on to item number 12. All right. See you all back here in 5 to 10 minutes.